With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. Treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hebrews 4:12-14. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confessions. This is the word of the Lord.
Almighty God, this moment we truly need to be filled with your spirit so that we can completely understand that your word is breathed by your spirit, that it's the truth, that it wants to speak to all of us, address our lives. And so if there's anything that might cause us today not to be open to receive, I pray that your spirit will take that away, and so that we will be ready to listen to your word. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are busy with a series of sermons called Questions to God. And by the way, you're not failing God to have questions about him or about faith or about life for that matter. There's no shame in having doubts. There's not one person who knows everything about God. And every person of faith deals with doubts and struggles and with difficult questions. And it's not sinful and it's not wrong. And often it can actually serve as a catalyst for new spiritual growth. When I was 5 years old, I wanted to become a pastor. And I used to play church. And I would send the plate around, you know, to take up a collection. And then as I grew older, the thought of becoming a minister went away. And I wanted to go into radio broadcasting or something like that. And then when I was 16 years old, I gave my heart to Christ and my life changed. And I met with my pastor at the time. And I told him about this memory of wanting to become a pastor when I was very young. And he said, well, maybe it's something you should pray about. And he gave me a passage from Scripture to meditate on and to pray over. Two verses from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, which says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I want to read those verses to you also today from the Message paraphrase. And it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary, life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of maturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And so I took time and I prayed over those verses, asking God to point me in a direction. And then after a week or more, I can't specifically remember how long it took, something happened inside of me. And I was convinced that God wanted me to go into ministry. Another way of putting it is something happened inside of me and I sensed a calling from God. In other words, God's Spirit, God's Word, God talked to me, called me to become a minister of Word and Sacrament. And I answered that call. I went to seminary and I became a pastor. And I still continue to send the plate around to take up an offering. But why am I telling you that story? Because God used His Word, Scripture, to redeem me and call me. In the words of Psalm 118, I meditated on His precepts and fixed my eyes on His ways. His Word was a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God used His Word to show me the way, to illuminate my heart and point me in a direction, to shine light on the path that I was to take. And because we're talking today about, is the Bible reliable? You see, many people, including Christians, are intimidated by the Bible because the text can be confusing and it can be shocking at times. And I think it's normal to struggle with Scripture. In fact, we are called to struggle together so that we might better understand His wisdom. The Jews in biblical times had a tradition of reading Scripture together. And it was this tradition that shaped Jesus and the disciples and Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. And it's still a tradition that promotes active and lively debates so that all community members might better understand each other and the Bible. So we don't have to fear or avoid disagreements about how best to understand a passage of Scripture. Instead, we can choose to embrace our roots and view disagreements as a healthy process that God uses to develop unity and consensus in communities of faith over time. And I think it's normal and to be expected that people might ask questions like, well, is the Bible reliable? Is it the truth? Can I depend on it as God's Word? Is it historically accurate? Is it consistent within itself, or are there contradictions in it? Does or how does history, the history of translation, affect the meaning of certain words and passages? And these are all valid questions. And like last week when we talked about, who is God and does God exist and is Jesus the Son of God, we don't have the time and the opportunity to go into all the different arguments for the reliability of the Bible and the truth of the Bible. But there are significantly more documentation for the books of the Bible than there are for other historically recognized authors and literature, including Plato and others. Excavation sites and artifacts also provide evidence that many of the events and the people and the places mentioned in the Bible really existed, including the Hittite people and the city of Jericho, because people questioned their existence for a very long time, and then later new archaeological findings proved their existence. The Gospels give multiple points of view, and in many cases were written within the lifetime of the people who witnessed the events recorded in the Bible. Writers focused on different aspects, but they had the same message. Jesus taught, healed, performed miracles, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. The fact that Jesus was a real historical person is clearly documented by Jewish manuscripts, even before the Apostle Paul and the writers of the Gospel provided their eyewitness accounts. And other ancient cultural documents all also reference his existence. And we see evidence of the Bible's trustworthiness by the lives that have been changed and redeemed by it. Like C.S. Lewis, a former atheist, who became one of the world's leading Christian apologists. And John Newton, a former slave ship master, who converted to Christianity and then penned the famous Amazing Grace. And not to put myself in the same category as these famous examples, but God changed my life and called me to ministry through His Word. But here's the thing. Whenever we address the reliability of Scripture, it is important to start by remembering what the Bible is reliable for. The Bible is reliable because it rests upon and points us toward the Logos, the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people." So Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. I mean, we often refer to the Bible as God's Word, and that's true. It is God's Word, but it's important not to lose sight of how our tradition speaks about Jesus. It speaks of Jesus as God's Word. And that's what we see in our passage that we heard from Hebrews, and it's something that helps us understand the passage better. Now, we don't know who the author of Hebrews was, but it deals with the problem of persecution of Christians within the land of Israel. Because of this persecution, they were considering going back to Judaism, a system who, of course, rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And it was written by someone outside of Israel to Jewish believers in Israel, and it was within the first century after Jesus' death and resurrection. And the writer is urging them not to go back, but to press on to spiritual maturity. And he uses the old Hebrew scriptures to illuminate what God is doing in their time and in their place. God is using the persecution that they are facing to reveal the evil of human sin and to encourage their faith in Jesus Christ. And the writer assures them and reassures them that ultimately, our high priest Jesus, who was also tested, will pour out grace and mercy to help those who trust in him. And so the writer compares what is happening in their own time and place to what happened in the Hebrew scriptures long times ago, so that the audience can see themselves in the scripture. It says, "For whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us for what we really are." At the same time, the writer continually reminds them that Jesus is the one to whom all scripture points. Jesus is the ultimate word of God for and about humanity. And nothing can be hidden from him, and to whom we must explain all that we have done. So what we see, and you know, what the writer of Hebrews states is that the word of God exposes us. God, through scripture, can help us to see who we really are. And his word exposes us for who and what we are truly. And all scripture, it says, is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for good works. Every part of scripture is God-breathed. It is alive. And God's Spirit keeps it alive and fresh and relevant. And you can read a passage that you have read 100 times before. And then all of a sudden, God's Spirit will reveal something new to you. Something you've never seen before in the same verses. The Spirit can take a verse and apply it to your life and to your situation. A verse that never made sense to you, that didn't have any particular meaning before. And all of a sudden, it's the perfect comfort or encouragement for what you are facing and going through right now. And the depth of God's Word, I mean, it's incredible. You can never get to the bottom of it. It's filled with meaning and application. And let me just give you one simple example, okay? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Let's take this verse that you've probably heard and read hundreds of times before. And let's just simply emphasize different words in this verse. I can do all things. I can do all things. Me. Not just Billy Graham or Dennis Paderny, but me. I can do all things. I can do all things. It's possible. I can. I can do all things. I don't have to be passive. I don't have to be a victim. I can take action. I can do what? I can do all things. Not just certain things. All things. I can do all things through me. No. Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because he gives me strength. Not you, not my wife, not my own abilities or capabilities. He gives me strength. Just by emphasizing different words in one verse can bring new meaning. And scripture, you know, leads us to repent and to turn to Jesus. And when we hold on to our confession and trust in the Word of God made flesh, we can draw near to God in confidence. The writer of Hebrews says, so let us come boldly to the throne of God and stay there to receive His mercy, to find grace to help us in our times of need. That is the wonder of God's Word. Now let me end by asking you, do you tend to use Scripture to prove a point or to promote your own agenda? Because many people like to do that. And in the process, they usually twist God's word to suit their own needs. Do you manipulate the word of God, or are you using it to help you clearly see who you are and your need for God's grace? When we use the Bible for our own ends, we keep it from challenging us and drawing us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. When we make a Bible about us and not God, we often drive others away from engaging with it. We are not there, we are not here to try and manipulate God's word for our own needs. And ultimately, the existence of the Christian community, this community is part of it. More than 2,000 years after the death of Jesus, speaks to the power of the stories and the wisdom and the life contained within the Bible. Is the Bible reliable? Your changed life, my changed life, is the greatest proof of the reliability of the Bible. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you that we can come with our questions, with our doubts. You are much bigger than any doubt or question we might ever have. What you want is for us to be authentic. What you want for us is to be curious, to seek, to deepen our relationship and our understanding of you. So thank you today for your word, which is spirit-breathed, God-breathed. Thank you for your son Jesus, who's the word in the flesh. And may your spirit enable us to truly accept and welcome and believe your word. Not manipulate it or use it for our own purposes, but to allow it to show us who we are, what our needs are, how we need your forgiveness and your grace that is available through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.